Our Father in heaven, infinite, eternal, unchanging God, our Creator, our Sovereign Lord, our Redeemer, we come as your creatures. We come as wayward creatures, having all sinned and come short of your glory. But we come in response to the call of the gospel. We come in repentance and faith to Jesus. And we come through him in the hope that in him we're acceptable in your sight. We know within us there's no good thing, but we come through Jesus, who offered himself in our place. And in him, we are confident of your grace, your goodness, your favor. And we come praying that you will meet with us, that you will minister to our hearts from your word. May our hearts be open and responsive to what you have to say to us this afternoon. May we listen with care, and may your Spirit be at work in each heart and life. May the Lord Jesus be honored. We pray for the preaching of the gospel today, not only here, but throughout the world. May the Lord Jesus be lifted up. May he be proclaimed. May there be many hearts turned to him. We thank you, our Father, for calling out to us. Thank you for inviting us to come and rejoice in your goodness and grace. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 23. We'll be looking at it, hopefully with some care, this afternoon. And it's always a delight to sing Psalm 23. What did I do wrong? Oh, we're going to sing it. Yes. What did I do? What happened?
I got a mic off the iPad. Prayer reading of John 10. Do you have that? Oh, you have them the other way around.
I got the other way. That's okay.
Reading John 10, then sing.
Okay. Somehow my sheet and yours got twisted, but that's not the end of the world. So what we'll do is turn together to the Gospel of John. And John chapter 10. If we're talking about the Lord as our shepherd, it's good to listen to what he has to tell us in John 10, so I'll read the first 21 verses. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep, runs away. And the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why, listen to him. But others said, these are not the sayings of the man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Amen. Okay, now we sing Psalm 23.
Thank you.
Now I think I get to read Psalm 23. What happens is my order of worship is just a little different because I include things to help me to keep from stumbling. And somehow between my computer and the copy, you have something happened. I'll readily take the blame for that. But I think I'm back on track, and we want to read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How are you doing this afternoon? How's it going? How are things? We ask one another questions like these quite often. And I'm not sure we always want to listen to the answers. But it's a way of opening up a conversation. But if we stop to listen to the answers, we could discover that not only many are going through the good times of life, but also any number might be going through what we call the worst times of life. And maybe even some, whether they realize it or not, are going through what we would call the end times of life. One of the great attractions of the 23rd Psalm is that it talks about the shepherd's care of his people during these various times of life. The psalm identifies this shepherd as the Lord, and we know him as the Lord Jesus Christ, for he declares to us in John 10, as we read a few moments ago, I am the good shepherd. And we come under this shepherd's care when we become Christians. When we turn from our sins and the ways of this sinful world and put our faith in Jesus Christ and seek to follow him, then we can say, together with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. And we'll be in the safest care that there is in all the world at all times. So let's turn our attention this afternoon to Psalm 23 as it talks about the Lord's care in the times of our lives, in the good times, in the worst of times, and in the end times. Psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack nothing." He sees that we're supplied with our every need. And that's certainly true during the good times. Times are good and we find all our needs are met. The same thought is expressed elsewhere in the scripture in Psalm 34. We read that the young lions may grow weak and hungry, but those that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. And the Apostle Paul picks up on the same message in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, saying, "My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So we have this repeated promise in the Word of God that he will supply our every need. And this certainly contributes to the good times of our lives. And we should certainly remember to be thankful to him for all he does in the good times, and praise him for the rich and wonderful care that's ours in the good times of life. The psalm continues saying, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And whatever else we might take from these words, they most definitely set before us a picture of rest. Shepherd making the sheep lie down in the most pleasant of places, on green grass. And if the grass is green in that part of the world, I suspect it was a shady place. And the waters that are there are quiet. It's the perfect place for rest. And God certainly cares that his people have rest. Jesus calls out to us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Rest for the soul. What a blessing that is. There are many going about our society today. We're very weary and tired of soul. I think many of them call it a lack of mental health, but the Bible doesn't talk about such things as mental health. It talks instead about rest of the soul, peace. I would dare say there is no rest for the soul, for those outside of Christ. Rather, he calls us to him and declares we'll find that rest in him. And he pictures that rest in the psalm, a sheep lying content on the green grass beside the still water. It's Christ, the good shepherd, who restores the soul. He renews the anxious, troubled, and exhausted spirit. He takes away the burden of sin and guilt. He renews the heart by His Holy Spirit. It is Christ who brings to us the good times in life. And what's more, He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Hebrew word for righteousness here is straight. Shepherd leads in straight paths. Calvin called them easy and plain paths. Paths where we don't stumble and get hurt. And if those paths are straight, you can be sure they follow the Lord's commandments and indeed are righteous paths. He leads us to love God with all our mind, soul, and heart. He leads us to love our neighbors as ourselves. He leads us to keep the commandments that are read every Lord's Day here in the church. He leads us to serve one another, to pray, to cast our cares upon Him, to give thanks in all things, and to think about what is right, noble, pure, praiseworthy, to keep busy and avoid idleness, assuring us that the God of peace will be with us when we follow these ways. The Lord does this, I'm sure, for the sake of the sheep, but the psalm tells us He does it for His name's sake. Erring sheep, you see, dishonor the name of the shepherd. So He leads them in straight paths to maintain the credit of His name. And He spares no effort in the care of His own. When times are good, we can be sure that we're in the shepherd's care. And we want to be sure to give thanks to Him and praise Him regularly for the good care that He brings our way. And surely in this part of the world, we know that care quite well. But the times are not always good. We face our not so good times. We face our bad times. We go through what we call the worst of times. Man is born to trouble, the book of Job tells us. And sooner or later, we discover that we go through our share of trouble and difficulty. As John Newton wrote in his hymn, Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Newton knew the toils and snares of life, and we all go through them. We all go through the worst of times, like Jacob when his sons came back from Egypt without Simeon and cried out, "Everything's against me." And we all have those moments. And what becomes of the Lord's care then? 23rd Psalm has this to say about it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here the psalmist finds himself going through the worst of times. He describes them as going through the valley of the shadow of death. This was a Hebrew expression that I understand to mean a place of profound darkness. Nothing looks good. Everything is dark and very threatening. As Jacob put it, everything is against me. And the experience of death itself can well be like going through that dark valley. But we can go through other dark, threatening times long before we ever meet up with death itself. You go in to see your doctor and he informs you that you have cancer. That can be a rather scary moment. You have an accident in your car and you end up in the hospital. Your job is threatened over some kind of a disagreement at work. You have family trouble. Your house burns down. There are all manner of threatening experiences that we can face in life, and we call these the worst of times. We don't like them. They're uncomfortable. They're unpleasant. What of the Lord's wonderful care at such times? Well, the psalmist says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There is no need to be fearful at such times because the Lord is with us. And he is with us even when everything seems so desperately dark. But what we usually do when we go through these valleys of the shadow, when we go through our worst of times, is we direct all our attention to the problem. If it's cancer, oh dear, you know cancer can be deadly. That's the first thing that comes to your mind. And then you think of some of the treatments. Why, some of that chemo stuff is poisonous. And you can be in for a long and dangerous series of hospitalizations. So many things can go wrong. And then if it's a serious accident you've been through, you might be wondering if you'll ever walk again. If it's a job loss, will I be able to find another job? How will I pay the bills? I could lose the house. It's human nature to turn all our attention on the ins and outs of the difficulties. And we get all tangled up in them. And it's not surprising we end up discouraged, downcast, fearful. And a lot of us do that. I know I have done that very thing many times, and I have seen many another person going through the worst of times, and all that they can think about is the ins and outs of the problem. But the psalmist has a much better idea. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Instead of directing all his attention at the problem, he remembers the Lord's care. And he turns his thoughts to the one who cares for him. He casts all his care upon the Lord and then has nothing to fear. And I submit to you, this is something a lot of us could learn from the psalmist and really need to learn from the psalmist. Remembering the Lord's care. It's something we need to train our minds to do. and not just at the worst of times, if we would keep the Lord's care in mind in the good times and remember to thank him and praise him, it'll come to us more readily to remember his care in the worst of times and look to him rather at all our difficulties. The psalmist found himself looking to the Lord, and that's when his fears left him. And I know of no better way of facing the worst of times than by keeping one's mind, heart, and thoughts on the Lord rather than on all the difficulties. Then the psalmist takes up mention of enemies in what must be another way of looking at the worst of times. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, we know David wrote the psalm, and during his lifetime, David certainly had his enemies. He had his frequent clashes with the Philistines. For a long time, King Saul was chasing after David, seeking his life. And even David's own son, Absalom, turned against him and threatened David's reign over Israel. And I think David would number these as the worst times of his life. And what did the Lord do while David faced the enemies of his life? He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's dinner time, David. Here's the table, prepared for you by the Lord himself. Sit down. Enjoy a meal. Now, I would hope you don't have enemies like David. Foreigners who threaten your defeat. King who wants you dead. Or a son who has turned against you. But we do have folks who upset our lives, creating problems for us, and more or less fulfill the role of enemies in our lives. Someone out to destroy your job, perhaps, neighbor who won't talk to you anymore, family member you can't get along with. And as I say, we dwell on these things and get agitated, upset, and aggravated. But wouldn't it be better at such times to realize that the Lord, even though in the tough times, continues to set a table before us in the midst of all of this? And if we could just keep things in perspective as we sit down to that wonderful table, we would find our troubles beginning to shrink and disappear. Oh, how we need to learn to say with David, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Here he is recognizing the presence of God, recognizing the blessing of God, even in the most difficult times. And hence, he can say, I will fear no evil. Yes, his cup runs over. And it's good to remember these things in the worst of times and to give thanks and praise to God. Early in my life, I had to learn to give thanks to God in the midst of difficult circumstances. And I remember people saying, well, you know, you can't give thanks when things are not good. But I was introduced to 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, in everything give thanks. And then Pastor Ewan, 3 weeks ago here, was preaching on the Lord's Supper. And the Lord Jesus took the bread and the cup, the very emblems of the suffering and death. It was just a few days away. And he gave thanks. And so when Scripture says, in everything give thanks, it means in everything. And if we remember to be thankful to our Lord, even in the midst of the difficult times, we discover he is with us. And there is nothing to fear. We can praise the Lord and give thanks. Well, before finishing his psalm, the writer reflects upon the remaining days of his life. He really doesn't know all the details of what lies ahead of him in his life any more than you and I do. But he does know that what will follow him through those days and times. He writes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I call these the end times because, well, someday the psalmist's life was going to end, and these days would be the end times for him. And he says they'll be filled with goodness and mercy. He knew God's care and favor would be with him all his days. God's peace and rest would be his. In the good times, in the worst of times, and to the very end of times. He's assured of it all because his Lord is the unchanging God. And there's nothing to fear. And if we have become acquainted by faith with this Lord and Good Shepherd, there's really nothing ahead in our lives that we need to be fearful about. His peace and his rest will still be ours. We can face the future with hope and confidence. We're under his care. And then there's the last words of the song, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. By faith, he's been adopted into the Lord's household and lives in fellowship with the Lord's family. And this will be true all his days, yes, and forever. And it'll be true all our days, too. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, there'll be the family home in heaven with a place prepared for us by the same Lord and Shepherd. You see, there's no end to his care for his family. Jesus tells us in John 14:2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. We have this marvelous hope and assurance of goodness and mercy following us all our days, and then dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Let's learn to give thanks and praise Him for His wonderful continuing care. And let us be mindful of His presence with us during all the times of our lives. As I speak to you this afternoon, I'm very mindful this is Palm Sunday, first day of what we call Passion Week. It culminates in Good Friday when we remember the death of the Lord Jesus. Is there any connection with the shepherd's care in the times and events of Passion Week? Well, there certainly is. If we inquire, how come the psalmist receives such great care from his shepherd? I mean, the psalmist was guilty of grievous sins, including adultery and murder. How come he had such good care? Well, the explanation is not found in the psalmist's behavior. Rather, it's explained in John chapter 10, verse 11, where we read, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Blood of the good shepherd covers the psalmist's sins. And the Lord cares for him as an adopted son. And if our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd cares for us on the very same basis. Oh yes, we failed him. We all have. We confess that. But through his sacrifice offered to God in our behalf on the cross, we're forgiven. We're adopted into the Lord's family. And we can affirm with the psalmist, without a doubt, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Keep that in mind this week as we approach Good Friday. Keep it in mind, whatever times of life you are facing at the moment. The Lord cares for his own in the good times, in the worst of times, and in all times to the very end. Amen. Let us sing hymn 65, verses 1, 3, and 4. This time we have the opportunity of worshiping the Lord by presenting to Him our offerings. Father in heaven, we come as your family members. We come